Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's go to Washington State now, where the death of a 20-year-old has strained the already frayed relationship between a Native American community there and law enforcement. ProPublica reporting fellow Rahima Nassa tells us about the crime at the heart of this story.
So last year, Jimmy Smith Kramer, who is a member of the Quinault Indian Nation, which is the small Indian reservation on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State, he went to this local campsite along Donkey Creek Road, which is a really popular site for locals in the area, both non-native and native. And he gathered there that night in late May to celebrate his birthday with a few close friends. You know, they were all drinking and having a good time when this white pickup truck pulled over. There was a back and forth, and then the truck suddenly reverses. And Jimmy, he dives into the way of the truck to get his friend out of the way, but he ends up getting the worst of it. And then the truck moves forward again as it tries to leave the area and crushes him one more time.
That back and forth that Rahima Nassa describes there may have included the driver yelling racial slurs. Rahima has been writing about this case as part of the Documenting Hate Project at ProPublica. And she says the driver of the car was ultimately caught and charged with manslaughter. But prosecutors here decided not to pursue hate crimes charges in the case of Jimmy's death, despite some witnesses who said they heard racial epithets. And that was a painful decision for this community in particular.
One of the witnesses claims that she had heard war whoops. And then two other witnesses claim that they heard a variety of other racial slurs before the attack. The investigators, they spent weeks, months really diving into the case and trying to figure out what actually happened, who said what. The investigators couldn't match up the stories. There were over a dozen people there. Most of those people said that they actually didn't hear any racial slurs.
You went through the police interviews with witnesses, with the other kids that were there when Jimmy Smith Kramer was killed.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find?
This case was just so complicated. For one, the witness who heard the war whoops, she wrote that in her witness statement, and they questioned her about it three times. And then, oddly enough, toward the end, she conceded her statement after the detective asked her if the war whoop sounded like a Sasquatch, which is, you know, a fictional creature. And then the other two witnesses, they heard these really terrible things before the incident, which I can't say on the radio. I spoke to them too, and they said, well, I don't think that I was really hurt a lot because I'm just a kid. Not to say that they shouldn't base the entire investigation on these three people, but just pointing out this was complicated, this was tricky, and still acknowledge the concerns the community has had.
What penalty did he receive for running over Jimmy Smith Kramer?
He was charged with manslaughter in the first degree and two counts of vehicular assault, one for killing Jimmy Smith Kramer and the other for injuring the other victim.
So it looks like the justice system is going toward accountability here for the driver of this truck. But you're talking about a community that's hurt and disappointed because the additional charges, the additional implications of a hate crime just weren't pursued here. What does that mean to them?
This case definitely opened up a lot of old wounds. For instance, in Washington State during the 60s and 70s, there was a series of civil disobedience protests known as the Fish Wars, where Native fishermen were asserting their right to fish in traditional waters, and they were constantly shot at and attacked for their treaty right to fish in the waters they've fished in for generations. And then even more recently, in 2013, the Quinault Nation sued four local school districts for discriminating against their athletes. In the suit, they claimed that their students were subjected to all sorts of racial slurs. The local school districts dissolved their athletics league with them, so the students couldn't play against each other. And this actually happened when Jimmy was in high school, and it really affected his game and his opportunities for college scholarships. And so after his death, it just felt like another sting for this community.
Well, I want to bring in Barbara Perry now. Professor Perry is a professor of social science and humanities at the University of Ontario Institute of Technology, also author of Silent Victims, Hate Crimes Against Native Americans. Professor, thanks for being here.
Happy to talk with you.
Well, you're hearing Rahima Nassa describe this case in Washington, the case of Jimmy Smith Kramer. Are you hearing strains that are familiar as you've gone about your research and your reporting for your book?
it certainly does resonate with what I was hearing when I was doing interviews with Native Americans across the country some years ago. What I'm hearing is from many communities, but especially the Native American community, that, again, their victimization in the context of hate crime specifically is not taken seriously. They're often told that they are overreacting, that they're looking for racial motivation where there is none, rather than acknowledging that it is an extension of the history of oppression and violence, systemic violence, as well as very direct physical violence, and the more contemporary patterns of really serious patterns of marginalization.
Now, in this case in Washington, Professor, the police and prosecutors did and are prosecuting this crime, first-degree manslaughter. It was the hate crime mm-hmm. that they chose not to prosecute. And the community's reaction to that seems to speak to an experience of being slighted in their view or not taken seriously by law enforcement.
I think the justice system, as was suggested, don't understand that the sense, the depth of that feeling of indignation and indignity that this signals to them.
I mean, does this case with Jimmy Smith Kramer and the testimony, or at least the police statements of the other kids at that incident, sound indicative to you? I mean, this is one of the difficulties with hate crime statutes, is that they do rely on establishing motive, right? And in this case, the kids testify that the driver did say words that might indicate a hate crime. In many other cases, it can be difficult to get inside someone's head.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the speech, the language used here is very important for contextualizing the incident. It seems that if we take those youth's testimony seriously, that there's no question that there was that motivation, particularly to drive over someone twice, suggests some form of intent to harm.
Professor, looking forward to solutions, it's very difficult to look into one case. More broadly, though, looking toward a solution, do you have ideas about how law enforcement, police, and prosecutors can use these laws more effectively when it comes to Native Americans?
Well, I think one of the issues, it boils down to training and to knowledge about how to proceed with these sorts of cases. It's a challenge. I mean, can you call in expertise? Can you bring in special prosecutors when we have hate crime offenses? I think that's an option. Same thing with law enforcement. Are there officers trained within these jurisdictions to respond to hate crime, to recognize it, to know how to investigate it effectively?
Barbara Perry is professor at University of Ontario and author of Silent Victims. Professor Perry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Rahima Nassa, reporting fellow at ProPublica's Documenting Hate Project. Rahima, thanks to you as well.
Thank you so much.